Father Barney McGuckian, you're a Jesuit and you're in charge of the Apostleship of Prayer here in Ireland, also known as Praying with the Pope. Can you tell me exactly what it is?
Well, it began in 1844 down in France when a group of young Jesuits were getting restive. They were all hoping to go to India and to be missionaries there, and they found their studies of philosophy rather boring. So they began to read all sorts of exciting books about India and the customs of India. But one of their professors said, look, if you don't really study your philosophy, you'll have nothing worthwhile to say to the Indian people. And he convinced them that it was possible to do work for God by studying philosophy when that was what they were asked to do. So he managed to get them to take their philosophy seriously. And then they went out to the local areas and told the people working in the fields and the offices and the factories, you know, you can actually be missionaries by really doing the work you have to do every day. That idea caught on. It went round the world in about 20 years and it became a phenomenally widespread movement. Today, about 50 million people around the world begin their morning with a little offering of themselves through Mary to the Sacred Heart. And in that way, they have become apostles of prayer.
So it's very simple and open to anybody who's a Christian or a Catholic. Do you have to be Catholic?
Well, anybody can join in on it. It's inspired by a Catholic idea at the time. But anybody with an ecumenical mind can do it too, because we're all baptized Christians. I suppose it's a specifically Christian one, because you're making the offering to Christ himself, who is the saviour of the whole world. It got a big lift in the 1890s when the new Pope, Leo XIII, came into the papacy, and he heard about this. Intentions that a cardinal drew up in cooperation with the Jesuits. He said, these are too important to be left to anybody less than the Pope. And they became the Pope's intentions from then on. And today, with St. Francis being so popular and highly respected around the world, many more people are praying with the Pope today than almost ever before.
Now, you said St. Francis there. Is that an inside track or Freudian slip? I think we mean the Pope Francis there, but we'll go with Saint as well.
I think it's Pope Francis, although he's very much inspired by Ignatius too. He has the spirit of Francis, but largely the mind of Ignatius.
Yeah, I'll talk to you about that in a moment, but just to say, Pope Francis has asked specifically about this apostleship of prayer or praying with the Pope. He thinks it's very important, isn't that right?
He does, and he was hardly in office when he accepted the idea, and intentions change every month. We're now in 2014, and in the month of February, there are two intentions. There's what's called a general universal intention, which anybody in the world, regardless of whether they're baptized or at least they have some belief that there is an Almighty, that there's a God, and they are asked to respect the wisdom of older people. And they're liable to be marginalized now with all the new technology, and young people almost think they have invented the world, whereas young people may not understand the very complex technology, but they've got a wisdom that younger people normally don't have, and it takes a bit of time to get it. So that was his first intention.
So just to be clear, in each month of the year, the Pope has two intentions. One is a sort of universal to anybody at all that's a believer of any sort and a higher power or whatever. And this year, this month of February, it's for that we're respecting older people.
Yes.
Then he has a second intention.
He has a second one, and in the month of February, it is that there will be greater collaboration among priests, religious and lay people, because we're all called to evangelize the world. And that was the basic inspiration of the Apostleship of Prayer, that everybody can become an apostle. And you know, one of the first people to join it was a young girl called Therese Martin. She wrote in, and they've got her documentation. She joined it before she ever became a Carmelite nun. We know she became the little flower. So recently in France, the French have proposed, and the rest of us are going along with it, that she should be the patroness of the Apostleship of Prayer, since she's the most distinguished member of it.
So somebody's listening to this now, let's say in March, what would the Popes, what are the two intentions that they should look to and offer up a prayer for each day and then be part of that and become an apostle of prayer?
Well, in March, although in Ireland we really focus on St. Patrick here in Ireland, but the intention for that month is that there be a greater respect for women, because there's, in many parts of the world, women are not respected. It requires no great imagination to realise that, because so many women have been trafficked. More women have been trafficked than men in that scandalous trade of prostitution and use of people. So that all cultures, that all the cultures of the world should respect women more. So that's the general one that any person of goodwill can agree to. And you know, Thérèse of Lisieux, I mentioned her a moment ago, she said the thing that the devil hates more than anything else in this world is goodwill. Just simple goodwill, and anybody can be a person of goodwill at once. Now, the more specifically evangelical intention of the Pope is that many young people will actually consecrate their lives to announcing the gospel. And that consecration can take different forms. But in fact, we're all consecrated in baptism, so we're all committed earlier. But it's to get young people, because most of the enthusiasm of the world is among the young. And if you have them on your side, they carry everybody with them.
It's a tall order, but nowadays it does seem that, particularly within, say, let's talk about our own tradition, the Catholic Church, but I'm sure our Church of Ireland people would agree too. It seems that less and less young people are engaged with their faith.
Well, it's a challenge to us, and we hope that one of the miracles that this new Pope will work is to get young people to begin to examine the sources of their faith, to realise that their parents had something very well worthwhile that has stood the test of time and will stand the test of time. I'm just back from 3 weeks in Africa. I was out there meeting a group of sisters. I spent 3 years with them 25 years ago, called the Sisters of Emmanuel. I was with them every day for 3 years. There were four to begin with. One of them left. That left three. One of those three was killed in a terrible car crash. That left two. Those two original sisters, now they are 33 fully professed. There are 10 novices and many young women aspiring to join. So we don't get the whole accurate worldview here in Europe. Things are very different in other parts of the world, and things that we think are passé are beginning to enthuse other people in other parts of the world.
You mentioned there Pope Francis at the beginning, and that he was more Ignatian really than Franciscan. What do you mean by that?
Well, I suppose I'm speaking as a Jesuit. I know both of us, we joined the Jesuits in the same year, 1958. And the day of the election of the Pope, I said to myself, there's one thing I'm sure of, for the first time in my life, I'm going to be older than the Pope. But I didn't realise I was only going to be 5 months older than him. He joined, his first full day in the Jesuits was the 12th of March, 1958. That was the day when we celebrate the canonisation of St. Francis Xavier and St. Ignatius of Loyola. So his first full day, he was initiated into the spirit of Ignatius. And one of the things that the Pope said of Ignatius that day was, this man had a heart bigger than the universe. So it's hard to think of a greater eulogy to say of anybody. He's a very silent, quiet man. Maybe he's not as well known to people as Francis Xavier, who was the great legendary apostle of the East, regarded generally as the greatest apostle since Paul himself. But Ignatius is very deep. And in fact, Xavier and many of those around him, the way they put it was, we felt like pygmies in the presence of a giant beside this little man who was only 5 feet high. So Ignatius was very profound and deep. And it's obvious from the talks and the comments of Francis, Pope Francis, that he was deeply inspired by the way of thinking and the approach of Ignatius, which is profoundly based in continual discernment, without being over fussy, waiting until you know exactly the right moment to do something, then to act decisively.
Yes, I think that is a key, that word discernment, because having worked myself with Jesuits, I have noted that word has come up again and again as a way of proceeding, to be able to discern. And you see that very much in the way the Pope approaches things, so that even though things may look as if they've been off the cuff remark or whatever, in fact, he has thought and knows exactly what he's doing.
If you're going to talk off the cuff, you need to have a very big cuff. And he actually seems to have that. And Ignatian spirituality has been described as a spirituality of choice and a mysticism of service. Now, there's a difference in spirituality of choice would not be really suitable for a Carthusian who is going to be in the same place all day, every day. He has a total routine that won't change. All he can do is deepen. Whereas if you have a spirituality of choice, which suits the Jesuits, when you're a different thing to face every day, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go? Who will you deal with? So you need some spirituality of how you choose. And it's very much a spirituality of service. Ignatius saw himself as the servant of Christ the King. A servant. And a servant has to work very hard and be very careful about what he does, be responsible, and he can't be totally improvising. He has to serve. So it's not just a cliche. It is, you've got to know what's meant by choice and what is known by service.
So to finally then sum up for the apostleship of prayer or praying with the Pope, people are asked to take the intention or intentions for each month, offer them up at the beginning of their day, and then they are part of millions and millions of people praying for the Pope's intention. And usually they're fairly powerful intentions.
They are powerful. And it was Augustine said one time, you have nothing to fear for the person who prays. The same is true of a civilization. You've nothing to fear either for or from a civilization, a group of civilized people who pray, because they will have the light needed to make good choices and to really serve others, not be totally preoccupied about their own little concerns, try and expand their hearts, that they might have something of that gift of Ignatius, who was described as having a heart bigger than the universe.